coming up on Thunder Pop.
This is the 127th episode of the Thunder Pop podcast. I'm Stephen Presley, and sitting on the computer screen in front of me, coming to me from Louisiana, USA, the one and only Master Jedi, Matt Wilkins.
Woohoo!
Yes, indeed. In this 127th episode, as we're getting close to the end of our fifth season as a podcast, we're going to wrap up a little earlier in the summer than we normally do because there's no movies to talk about right now in the theaters. And we think there might be some in July, but that's not even for sure thing right now. There's a couple scheduled to go up. There is TV, there is shows, but we're going to take a little bit of a break because we're hoping that at least by August, it'll start. Movies will start coming back in the theaters, and we want to be poised and ready to kind of swoop in and start covering that a little bit. But in this 127th episode, me and Master Jedi Matt Wilkins, we're going to talk about, and he probably doesn't even know, I kind of have switched the main topic of the show, but it's still pretty close to what he, and if there's any guy who can roll with the punches that you, whatever you kind of throw at him, this guy here can handle it. So that's right. Why I didn't mind doing it to you. We're going to talk about delayed films and TV shows that we are looking forward to, stuff, the content that was supposed to have come out by now that was delayed for mostly the reason of that we all know of, the pandemic. We're going to open the show, and speaking of movies that we've long awaited, this sequel that we've long awaited, Bill and Ted Face the Music. Still scheduled for an August release, so fingers crossed. That's one of the reasons why we're going to go on our break now, because we want to get back to doing podcasts before Bill and Ted Face the Music comes out in August, hoping that it still comes out in August. I want to be back before that so I can cover that, assuming that that's still going to happen. And also Wonder Woman 1984 would come out in August, so it would be the biggest month we've had in movies in a long time. Because movies have been shut down for a while. So we wanted to be back to work before then fully. And while we're on break from the podcast, though, I'll still be creating video content for the YouTube and the TikTok and all that. So I'll be around. We just won't be recording audio podcast. Okay, so we'll have reviewing the trailer, Bill and Ted Face the Music. Then we're going to talk about delayed films and TV shows we are looking forward to, hoping that Bill and Ted doesn't get added to that list of delayed films and TV shows we've been waiting for. And then we're going to have agree or disagree, our usual tropes. And in this special episode of Thunder Pop, we're going to talk about all things delayed films and TV shows. So in agree or disagree, every question in my three questions for you will also be about movies and TV shows that were in this case, mostly movies, the movies actually that were delayed. Two of the three questions, rather. The last question will be about a TV series that hasn't been delayed, but it's a show people are trying to cancel, surprisingly. And you might have heard of this show because your twins are how old now?
They are 13 months, and I do know the show you're talking about.
Okay, good. You're already on top of it.
I'm on top of that.
So that's a show that's actually my son's. Now it's his second favorite show that he's been watching, and we don't put him in the front of the TV a ton, but there's sections of the week that it's a good break for us for him to watch his show of choice. So he does have his show time watching, and this one is in his top two shows. It was his number one favorite until a couple of weeks ago, and he discovered another show he's really into that he's been really into last few weeks, but this show's been a constant of his favorites. Anyway, we'll get into that right after this. Yeah. 127 of the Thunderpop podcast. If I said 126 earlier, it's actually 127. We're here. It's June. Normally a busy month for summer movies. This summer, I'm sure you're well aware, Matt, was supposed to have been a huge movie summer, or summer of movies, for us 80s kids. And then the rug was pulled out from under us back in March. It was pulled out from a lot of things back in March, not just from a moviegoer's perspective. But I was calling this for a long time. I've been calling this summer. I've been watching. It's been marked on my calendar. And I was calling it my 80s summer revisited for a long time. Because this summer was supposed to have been the summer we were going to get Top Gun Maverick. We were going to get Ghostbusters Afterlife,
yep,
which was the true sequel to the original Ghostbusters universe. We were expecting and thought we would get the third season, much anticipated season of Cobra Kai, which I assumed because, and I'm sure you did too, since the first two seasons both dropped in May previous years, I assumed that was going to continue to be the pattern, and that we would have gotten a trailer in the spring and another trailer, and then we would have gotten all the hype and build up, and then the show would have dropped sometime in May of this year, as it had the last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. I was waiting for the same thing too. I think it was starting 1st of May. I started looking for the trailer. I said, well, maybe I just missed it because I'm subscribed to the
same here,
YouTube,
yeah,
Cobra Kai channel. And I just kept looking around. I was like, well, where is it? Should be around now. They should have. They should have finished if they've come out in May. That means they finished the whole thing of at least a few months ago, editing and everything.
Right.
But, you know, they have 2 months usually between where they're promoting it, but they usually have it finished. There may be some last minute changes, but sure. Certainly COVID didn't impact that show because it should have wrapped up before the crisis hit. And
yeah,
couldn't find anything about it. And then we heard all the rumors.
Yeah, there's been the rumors. I actually started Googling about it as soon as I was furloughed or laid off from work, and my business completely came to a screeching halt. There's not a lot of weddings for me to DJ right now, or events, special events for me to go out and do sound for and lighting. So I've been, you know, at home. So I'm looking for stuff to watch, and I'm like, oh, Cobra Kai. If this thing's still going on for a couple months. Which we later find out it did go on for that. It has gone on for that long. Like, maybe we'll get Cobra Kai in May, though. That'll be a nice treat coming in May, to something to binge watch. And we're stuck at home. We need something like that. So I started Googling for it, I think, as early as April. Because I had thought March we would have gotten trailers.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, maybe they held off on it because they thought, well, what a terrible time to start marketing.
Right.
For anything, even something like that people would be interested in watching. Maybe they didn't want to do the marketing for it. There's not really a lot of places to go and promote for it right now. So maybe it's still going to come out in May, but there's not going to be as much of promotion for it. And really, it's a show you could do minimal promotion for. People, the fans that watch the first two seasons, are going to find it if it's coming out without the heavy promotion. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I completely agree. Completely agree.
But I started Googling, and that's when I started seeing things, some of the rumors. And one was that the show had, well, one of the things I had read first before the rumor that we're going to get into here a little later about what we finally have found out about the show that's been confirmed rumors. But what I started reading was that the show had been finished, just like you said. The show had been wrapped. The show had been finished. They were doing the post-production touches to it, but that they were delaying the release because of the pandemic. And that's what I started reading back in April, because of it was just a hard, just as I speculated in March, I read in April, was that there was speculation that they were holding off because they thought it was a terrible time to promote for it. Right. But then I was having conversations with other people that were fans of the show as well. And they were like, well, this would also be a great time to put the show out, because everybody's home. So
yeah.
you would get a very captive audience.
Yeah, there's no one else watching it right now. It's already a big show. So I think even more people, I mean, to be honest, it helped Tiger King. Tiger King would not be the phenomenon that it was, because it came out just right when people started going, we're forced to stay at home. It was their first week.
Yeah.
They're looking for something. Tiger King drops. I don't think Tiger King is that big without the quarantine.
Matt spoken, good looking, love to party and have fun.
No, I agree, and it didn't have anything to go up against it because there wasn't movie theaters were not open.
So everything shuttered, that's right.
Yeah. Normally in March you would have had some big movies. We were supposed to get the new James Bond, which was gonna be the finale of the Daniel Craig's James Bond movies. Yeah. You were going to get Black Widow for Marvel, which would have been the first big Marvel movie we've had since Spider-Man 2. You would have had, I believe, if I'm not mistaken there. And then you would have had, right behind that, you get Wonder Woman.
Fast and Furious 9, I think, was scheduled, right,
May
or something?
Exactly. Fast and Furious 9, which would always bring – a Fast and Furious movie always brings in a healthy first weekend. So again, there was a lot of the tension would have been on other things. It also, March was, you know, the spring break, so people would have been going on more vacation time, going out of the house more on vacation. You would have been competing with the open of baseball season,
yeah,
which would have happened.
Get me started. I miss baseball so much.
Yeah, and that's something that we haven't seen a summer with no baseball. Of course, right now it's not for sure it's going to be the whole summer without baseball, but it's at least so far it's been. Yeah, it's not looking good though.
It's not looking. Sadly, MLB players, unlike NFL and NBA, NFL and NBA players spend all their money and they have to settle.
Yeah,
Major League Baseball players save their money. And they can hold out indefinitely. And sadly, both of them are stingy and they're not on good terms. And I'm very disappointed in baseball right now. Baseball should have come back about a month ago.
Yeah.
And it would have been the only thing on ESPN. It would have been – baseball is my favorite sport. So this is a total missed opportunity, a strikeout, if you would, for the whole Major League Baseball Corporation, because they could have gotten more fans and been bigger and better than ever to be the first sport to come back during the crisis.
Yeah.
And they are dropping the ball because two sides cannot come to agreement. And it breaks my heart because I love the sport. And I think we get new fans because, I mean, if baseball is the only thing on, people are going to watch it because there's nothing else.
I mean, there's people watching, what are they watching right now? They're watching golf with.
Just stupid
celebrity
stuff
celebrity golf and things that bowling
sports.
Is getting attention.
Yeah, we need sports. Any sports would do. And I hear basketball is getting back together, but the thing is though, it's just so disappointing. So disappointing. If this was a sports podcast, we'd have lots to talk about. But
there'd be lots to talk about because there's a lot going on in that world too. But and I did a TP Extra with a little bit of that. I had a friend on from LA. We talked a little bit about that. But yeah, you know, that baseball had a real opportunity to be a hero. And bring people sports at a time when they don't have sports. And yeah, you would have gotten probably some new fans there. It would have been the guys coming running out on the field with their gloves on would have been absolute heroes right now. But they couldn't figure, both sides have not been able to figure that out. And it's a missed opportunity, like you said, a huge missed opportunity.
And you mentioned earlier about we're hoping to get movies coming out in July and so hoping things will get started. You know, opening them up back to normal is what everyone wants, I think, right now.
Yeah.
And what the country needs is to get back to normal. That's what it needs.
Yeah.
You're seeing a lot of pent-up aggression here lately in the news and overreactions and people just angry. And it's all boiling up and it's focused on quarantine, right? They've been staying at home.
Yeah.
Life has been turned upside down for them. We need some normality. And I hope when phase three comes because if you're going to have strict social distancing for phase three, you're still screwing over the movie theaters because social distancing means every two seats in every other row. That's not going to fill up. That's not going to make the Cinemark or AMC. And isn't AMC talking about going out of business?
AMC's in trouble. They've already had to file some level of bankruptcy, I believe.
And if they open up with strict social distancing inside those doors, that's it. That's it for movie theaters. I don't think it'll happen. I think Hollywood's going to step in for them. I think, you know, people are going to step in for that. And phase three, hopefully, will be lightening up the rules a little bit. But I say this because I'm kind of on the board of a stage play theater, and it would kill us too. It's killing us because we're the last ones to open with movie theaters, and we're the ones that are in the most trouble. And the arts have never been moneymakers, folks.
No.
The arts has never been. You don't get into the arts for money. Let me tell you that. That's what you do. So we've been hurting too. So I'm really hoping everyone thinks about us, and calmer minds prevail. And but we need to get back to normal.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think, you know, whatever happens, and it seems like now it's, everything you hear, it's like back and forth. Like, well, you hear one thing one day, and then you hear something completely opposite the next day. You've got dueling organizations giving you two different versions of the story of what you should or should not do. But anyway, yeah, so it's that. But what I've heard from what I've been hearing, you know, around is that they realize they can't do the shutdown again. It's just people aren't going to go for it, for one thing. At least not in this country, people are not going to go for it. And fiscally, I just don't know if it's possible, if the infrastructure's there.
Fiscally, we've run our economy into the ground. I think thinking back on this, it's going to be an interesting documentary.
Yeah.
When they make this
several.
5 years from now, 10 several. Years from now. It's going to be an interesting documentary to see how we mishandled this. I think there was good intentions that just went way above and beyond what we should. We kind of overreacted.
Yeah.
And because I heard from an epidemiologist, I don't know what they're called, someone who deals with outbreaks and pandemics. But he said probably what should have been done was a lockdown of all the old folks' homes.
That's what I told everyone. Yeah.
And to pay the workers double because they have to stay there they have to be quarantined with the old, like they can't go home and visit. But we pay them double for months.
Yeah.
On end. Just to stay there, and everyone is on. Those are the ones that should be on lockdown. Everyone else would be fine because most cases of COVID are light. I mean, that's from the CDC, folks. 98.5%, only 1.5% are serious. So I think, and of course, the news sensationalizes everything because that's saying that 98% of you are going to be fine does not bring you back to watch their next news broadcast.
No. No. So,
talking gloom and doom, fire and brimstone, tune in tomorrow for more updates. That's what gets the watchers. And sadly, we saw a lot of grandstanding and sensationalizing something that we probably shouldn't have. They stirred the pot. People I used to respect have said the stupidest things. I can't wait to make fun of them a year from now because they're going to deny everything they said. But, you know, I'm going to say, I remember you were panicking over this. I remember you overreacted. And it was one, I mean, like I said, there are things that need to be done. Mm-hmm. I think you were on the same page of that.
Right.
But what we did, at first off, it was for good intentions. But then it seemed like every governor wanted to one-up the next one.
Yeah.
And then we got too ridiculous with the rules and ended up not helping anyone. And really, really putting a dent in our economy. People like you furloughed, but I mean, you are sadly not the minority there, right? Mm-hmm. There's a majority of people in the same boat. Some people have lost their job, and I hate that for people. We've ruined people's lives.
Oh yeah,
because we overreacted to something. I'm not saying that we shouldn't react to it. Yeah, we should all. We went in with fear and not with wisdom, and we should have gone in being a little bit more wise and being less fearful of the unknown. But
well,
sadly, it didn't work out that way, and I hope things go back to normal and common sense prevails.
Yeah, and the political sizing of it damaged the being wise about it, because it's like you said, one side wanted to one up the other, so they would do these extreme measures so they wouldn't get criticized by the other. And it's an election year; it's a perfect storm. You've got all this happening, and it's an election year, so everybody wants to wow, you know, impress.
Everyone wants to wow you. Every governor wants to say, "I protected you." I mean,
yeah.
To be honest, the governor in Michigan, she's like, you know, suffocating the baby just so it won't cry. You know,
yeah.
I mean, she was killing that state, so she probably hurt herself. But the thing is, though, you're exactly right. Election year, everyone's thinking, "Well, I've got to do this, or I won't look like I'm caring about my state."
Yeah.
And some states handled it better than others, I'll be honest. But at the same time, overall, there was one big giant knee-jerk reaction, and there should have been calmer heads. And, hey, we've never dealt with a pandemic before. It's been 100 years since we've had a pandemic.
Yeah, we didn't have
the Spanish flu.
Yeah, we didn't have a blueprint, really. I'm not, not in this. We didn't have recent memory on how to handle something like this.
No one does. No one does. The Spanish flu was, what, 1918 or something? So, I mean, it's been over 100 years. And so no one knew how to deal with it in this time and age. And so, hey, you know what? Woulda, shoulda, coulda. It's time to move on, though. It's time to move on. We need to get back to normal. I'm totally for that because, man, I mean, I didn't go to the movies that much. But people need to get outside. People need to go do something. I miss going out to eat in a restaurant. I mean, I can do that now.
Yeah.
Right. But at limited capacity. But I miss people looking at you warily going, is he going to freak out because I'm getting close to him? Or can we hug? One lady asked me at a funeral last weekend, can I hug you? Of course you can hug me.
That's yeah.
Don't even ask that. Hug me. I'm not going to let the whole social distancing kind of took precedent over washing your hands and covering your mouth, which, to be honest, are two very important things. Social distance. Mm-hmm. If you're not washing your hands, then you're spreading your germs everywhere. And if you ain't covering your mouth, then you're spreading germs everywhere. I don't care how long you social. But everyone put social distance. Everyone went backwards and put social distance number one and then everything else number two, three. It was awful. Our priorities were all screwed up.
Speaking of that, I'm going to use this. I'll put some hand sanitizer.
Says the man, he's putting hand sanitizer on. I'm just talking to him. He's putting hand sanitizer
I'm just
on.
Make sure, because I, you know, I've got my hands are all over the place. Yeah, it's been a perfect storm. I'll say this. I know people who have told me their family, that they've had family members that have died that they believe were complications from the coronavirus. Now, or they heard it was, but they had other things wrong with them. Mm-hmm. In addition to it, so it was probably, you know,
well,
a contributor.
Diabetics over, is it 65 or 70? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I think it was over a certain over 70 years old.
Yeah.
Diabetic or heart issues, I believe, or respiratory issues. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Those people are high risk, and they should be sheltered.
Those are the people.
All those people should be protected.
Mm-hmm.
But the other ones, like, what was the country? Sweden.
Yeah.
Sweden didn't do a lockdown.
New Zealand.
And now they have herd immunity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, Sweden.
What lesson did the world learn there?
Yeah, there's something to that. Something to that. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. I had said back March 18th, I said, I don't think we need to do all this. I had told I had a little Zoom chat with all my cousins and uncles and aunts, and we were all home from work. Not working at the time. So we had a little family reunion on Zoom. And I told him, I said, look, I think that this was a little overboard. And I said that on March 18th. I said, look, I think what we need to do is all the people with pre-existing conditions that are on that list and the people over a certain age, we shelter them.
Mm-hmm.
And we also make sure we use resources to make sure they're getting the things they need, mm-hmm. whatever that is, giving them free delivery of not having to pay the delivery fees for things that they have delivered to their house, supplies, family members bringing them stuff and dropping it off for them at their front door. But we need to keep those people sheltered, and everybody else just continues to move along.
It would have been a fraction of the cost that it's cost us now with the economy and everything. It would have been a fraction of what we've spent.
Absolutely.
But we need to be smart. And I think fear prevailed. Unfortunately, we faltered, but that's okay. Still trust you, humanity. You just got to get back on the saddle again.
Well, maybe, just maybe, we learned a lesson. So, and I hope this doesn't.
I hope so.
I hope we have another 100 years before we have to deal with another one of these. But if we have to deal with it in 5 years from now again, maybe we'll be a little bit more ready for it because we'll have just gone through one. But knock on wood, I hope we don't have to do another one so soon.
I'll be happy if it's another 100 years. I'll take even 50 because I don't think I'll live that long. So I'll take another 50 years because I don't want to be around for the next one.
Yeah, you'd be happy to miss that second one if it's 50 years from now. Yeah, and it's like I said, it's been a perfect storm. It's an election year. And then you have that incident in Minneapolis. People have been quarantined for weeks. People aren't meant to be quarantined in their homes. And I'm not saying what happened shouldn't have happened. It happened. It was a terrible situation. But then the fact, the timing of when it happened, it just, people just went buck wild.
Yeah. And since it's not my podcast, I can say whatever I want, folks. But I totally agree. I think that's why it got overblown. What happened was wrong. That's and there's not a single person who disagrees with that.
Yeah.
However,
I think everybody
the way people react to it, that is also wrong. You don't go out and be a criminal. You don't go out and riot and loot and say, well, I'm justified by this. I just don't believe that. I mean, you had me at, that person was wrong. But when you start committing crimes, I'm sorry, you've lost me there. Yeah, I can't support that. I do believe, you know, justice should be served there. But at the same time, retaliation, no. No, mob mentality, No. I'm afraid that's what we're seeing here. Part of that is the quarantine, in my opinion, on all that. It's that pent-up frustration, and it got misdirected. Again, there it was, a noble cause, but went way astray. And because I know people who had their stores damaged and pillaged and everything, and they are minorities, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And certainly. And yeah, it's funny how the cameras turn away from them, sadly.
Yeah.
Sadly, your cameras turn away from them because they deserve to be robbed. Right. I never understood that philosophy. But yeah, and all police aren't bad. There you go. This is getting to our conversation, though.
Yeah,
I know lots of cops, folks, of all different colors. And guess what? They ain't all rotten. Are there people who are bad and that are police? Sadly, yes. Sadly, yes, there are. There are bad people.
There are, and
there are bad people in every profession.
Exactly.
But if you're going to judge one person and say that's everyone, then that is you're being a bigot. It's bigism there. And I can't agree with that, because I know a lot of good people who are cops, a lot of good people who agree that that cop was wrong. But at the same time, they're the ones getting yelled at. They're the ones getting stuff thrown at now. And they're the ones people are saying defund and doing all the ridiculous cancellations like
we're going to. I'm going to. I got a question for you about that later. And, you already know what I already know. I look forward to talking to you more on that.
I'll let you guide the topics. It's your show.
That'll be on Agree or Disagree. We're going to dive into that. And
excellent.
Something you show you're very aware of having 18 month olds. I'm sure.
Yeah.
So okay, well, we're going to get into, let's get into something fun, because we need some comedy in our world. We need some comedy in our life right now, because it has been a kind of a heavy time right now for everybody, and something that could unite people through comedy and music. And who better to do that potentially than two guys named Bill and Ted? And the Bill and Ted, and we needed a new movie trailer. I miss new movie trailers coming out, you know, every couple of weeks, a big movie trailer dropping on the internet. And so I started speculating, because Bill and Ted Day was this past week, I was like, I think they'll drop the Bill and Ted trailer on Bill and Ted Day. And sure enough, it was tweeted that a teaser that seemed like by Alex Winter, that they were going to be. He said, "Hey, tomorrow, by the way, Bill and Ted Day." Seemed like a hint that we were going to get a Bill and Ted trailer, and we did. So in our review in the trailer, Bill and Ted Face the Music, the long-awaited sequel, the Bill and Ted franchise.
25 years ago, you played a concert in front of the entire world. 1 month ago, you played in Barstow, California for 40 people, most of whom were there for $2 taco night. Bill and Ted, what have you got to say for yourselves?
Be excellent to each other and party on, dudes.
You were supposed to unite the world and save reality as we know it.
Bill, we've spent our whole life trying to write the song that will unite the world. Why can't we just go to the future when we have written it?
Whoa! Take it from ourselves!
But isn't that stealing?
How is that stealing if we're stealing it from ourselves, dude?
No way!
How'd you like our song?
It's a little on the dark side, but you know, that's cool.
Oh, that's great. Of course, the trailer, there's some funny stuff in that trailer. And if that's any indication of what the film is going to feel like and be like, it could be very good. But the $2 taco night joke.
This is such a smart move for this movie. This movie was destined to underperform at the box office.
Yeah.
But because the franchise has been a long time coming, even with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
How many Bill and Ted fans are out there left? You know, it's never was a huge, like, Ghost. It's not a Ghostbuster, not anything like that.
It's not a Karate Kid. It's not a Karate Kid. It's not a Rocky.
You dropped a trailer where nothing's coming out. So now the only thing we can talk about is Face the Music. Plus,
that's a good
you're
point.
Making a statement yeah. that every other movie studio will not make. We are coming out with this movie. You basically made that statement to us where no movies, every movie studio is going, we'll see. But Bill and Ted's like, yeah, we're dropping this. Yeah, we're coming at you. No, there doesn't seem to be any. We're going to go on as business as usual. I love how they delivered this.
Bill and Ted's is like, we're coming. We're going to land our telephone booth right smack dab in the middle of your pandemic and your riots and your police brutality. We're going to land right in the middle of the road, and we're coming to save the world summer.
Full disclosure, I think it's been only 3 years ago when I actually watched Bill and Ted for the first time. Never watched it back in the 80s.
Wow.
Loved. This is so weird. My mom bought the Bill and Ted cereal for us. We love the cereal. We watched the cartoon.
The cartoon, right. Yeah.
We watched the cartoon, but we just never watched the movie. Now, this is before, you know, home video. I mean, well, there was Blockbuster and stuff. But, you know, movies didn't come on TV unless you had HBO, you know, that you had to pay for. But there wasn't all these TV movie channels like there were now. So we missed a lot of those movies. And I said, you know what? Bill and Ted was one I never saw. And I need to watch that. So me and my brother sat down because he wanted to watch it too.
Yeah.
And we watched them back to back. Now, I know Bogus Journey is disliked by a lot of fans, yeah. but I actually like Bogus Journey.
I remember when I first saw Bogus Journey, it was one of those movies. Me and my brother watched these together when they first came out. But we watched at least Bogus Journey we watched as a VHS. It wasn't in the theaters. And it seemed like we might have even watched both of these films like around the same time for the first time. We watched them together, but they were both, I'm pretty sure, VHS for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I enjoyed both of them. When I said, you know what? I said, I actually like the second one just as much. I thought it was good. I thought it was funny. Because I like the characters, Bill and Ted.
Yeah. And they're still the characters and they're still in the scenario. Yeah. The Bill and Ted characters are very likable, lots of fun. They're part of that genre. That is the Wayne's World, kind of the Bill and Ted's, yeah. the Beavis and Butthead, the kind of the buddy film of like two guys that are a little bit kind of they're so dumb, they're smart.
Yeah. And I like this trailer because they're playing their characters. Keanu Reeves has transcended Bill and Ted, okay, by leagues. He's done bigger and much better things.
Yeah.
He doesn't. A lot of actors do this to revive their career.
That's
right.
A good point.
They go back.
That's a good point.
To
yeah.
revisit their old characters, so people will watch and maybe people remember. Hey, I'm still an actor. This is a movie people go to when their career is kind of stale. However, Keanu Reeves couldn't be more hotter. He's straight off John Wick 3, which is honestly one of the best. It was the best movie of 2019, hands down. In my opinion, there was nothing close.
Yeah.
It's one of the best action movies I've ever seen. I absolutely love the John Wick franchise. I can't wait for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I hope they make more sequels than The Land of Before Time. Okay? I absolutely love John Wick. But he comes back. He's playing a kind of silly, goofy character. He's just doing this because he wants to. And because he's friends with Alex Winter, who is doing nothing right now. Keanu Reeves is just a good guy, I hear, in Hollywood. He's a good guy. He does things for other people. He's got a good heart and everything. Yeah. I respect him as an actor. He's dedicated. He's in shape. It's kind of weird to see John Wick act like Bill now.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a little bit of adjustment.
It does take an adjustment for me. The whole time I was going, "Why is John Wick drunk?" You know, at the same time though, I can't wait. That trailer was exactly what we needed. Bill and Ted fans, if they remember the movies, are going to be like, oh, yeah, I think it's going to make more money than they thought it was. It's not going to be a blockbuster. It's not going to break records. But it's going to recoup its costs and probably make a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I hope it does because this is something that Keanu Reeves wants to do for fun. And I respect that. I respect Keanu Reeves so much. So
it's cool to see him.
Go ahead.
That's cool to see him doing that, and I agree. It's you know, unlike, and I'll tell you a good example. You're talking about how a lot of actors will come back and do a reboot or a revitalization of an old property that they were famous for hoping that it would kind of get people to remind people who they are and maybe give them kind of a restart on their career. One of the best examples of two actors that I'm reminded of how talented they are, and probably more talented than I even maybe gave him initial credit for, was Ralph Macchio and William Zabka. How good they are in Cobra Kai, and how William Zabka, especially William Zabka, brought... I mean, Ralph Macchio is always Daniel LaRusso, and Daniel LaRusso is always Ralph Macchio. I mean, those two go hand in hand, just like Sylvester Stallone is Rocky, and Rocky is Sylvester Stallone. But William Zabka brought so much depth to the Johnny Lawrence role that we didn't see in the original, that he wasn't given the opportunity to present in the original movies, but that he's been given the opportunity to present in the series. It's been really impressive how he was able to bring so much depth to that role.
There's two people I give credit for. Of course, William Zabka, and I also give credit to the writers. The writing on Cobra Kai is so smart. We don't see this continuity, that strong continuity in a show that ties to... I've never seen a TV show beat a movie in quality.
Yeah. No.
Cobra Kai, in my opinion, is better than... I love The Karate Kid, folks. I absolutely love it. Was one of my favorite movies, if not my favorite movie as a kid. Cobra Kai beats the pants off Karate Kid now. It is just so well written, and the quality is there. I cannot wait. I've heard tons of rumors for season 3. I am so excited about it, but the writing is spot on, and that's what you need in a good series.
And it's an absolute, to me, it's an absolute, and maybe I'm being a homer here, but at this point, it's an absolute travesty that it hasn't won a truckload of Emmys.
It honestly should have. There's so many excellent scenes, heartfelt scenes. I can think of when he's getting the burger with Miguel, and it's right across the street from that hospital where his son was born. And then you find out what the story is really about. It's not about him getting a burger. And I was like, oh, he's opening up to Miguel, who he's kind of been, you know, pushing around this whole time. But he's got a Johnny Lawrence. This is, again, William Zabka's range. He goes from total jerk that you're laughing at to heartfelt. You know, guy, he's a guy that's down on his luck. You feel bad for him, how his life's turned out. There's so many good scenes. One of my favorite episodes in the first season was when he and Daniel kind of, you know, smoke the peace pipe that one night, and then immediately it goes south at the... I love it. You can hear the air get sucked out of the room, you know, when he finds his son there, and it's just, it's great stuff.
It's great stuff. Well, that segues really good into our main topic of the show, and that's stuff that's been delayed, TV movie shows that have been delayed. TV movies that have been delayed due to the pandemic that we are looking forward to finally, when we do finally get to see them, we're looking forward to them. And of course, Cobra Kai, delayed, but not really due to the, well, I mean, initially it seemed like it was delayed because of the pandemic, but then we started hearing these additional rumors that they were trying to leave YouTube Premium. And that they were going to maybe leave YouTube Premium, and so now it's been confirmed by it's been confirmed by reliable news sources that they're being shopped right now. That they are shopping the show, and there's basically last I read there was a bidding war right now between Netflix and Hulu, and of course
it's new content. Yeah,
yeah, and these things are moving so quickly. So we could finish recording this episode today and post it on Sunday, say, and we may have already the announcement before Sunday that it's been picked up by Netflix, which I expect to come any day now, an announcement of where it's going to land. But the last I read, it was reported that Hulu and Netflix were right now in a bidding war to be the new home of Cobra Kai for starting with season three. Now, season three, what we understand, has been finished. It was ready to go, but the producers, the creators, preferred, instead of doing the third season on YouTube, only to move for the fourth season to another platform, because it was already determined that YouTube Premium has decided to move away from doing original programming.
Right.
Now, they were fine with distributing the third season, and then the contract was going to be up with Cobra Kai, and Cobra Kai was going to be a free agent to go wherever they wanted to go, and they obviously weren't going to stay at YouTube if they weren't going to continue to promote original programming. So they wanted to go someplace where they could have the platform, the promotion, the, you know, the backing that they needed. So, but they were like, the producers were like, they asked out of their agreement so they could take the finished third season and start off on a new home from the third season on.
The Cobra Kai has been that all-star that's on the on a losing team. YouTube Premium was a terrible, terrible platform, but Cobra Kai is a gem of a show, and they had the leg up over all the competition on how well that was. I was going to be happy with so-so writing and a campy story. I was going to be okay with that, but what I got was way more than I expected. That show was, that show exceeded expectations on a momentous amount. I mean, I was blown away by how good the show was. In my opinion, it didn't have to be that good, but it was better than I expected, better than anyone expected, and it rightfully blew up to become a great show. And so, yeah, I just hope that whoever buys it throws – I know they're getting the rights to – whoever buys it, well, reported, they're going to have the rights to stream 1 and 2, of course.
That's what I've been reading,
But then they'll be exclusive for 3.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And YouTube Premium will be able to keep as well 1 and 2 on their streaming
on
platform.
Their platform.
Yeah, because they were the original home for those first two seasons. But yeah, it's my understanding that wherever they land, and I've heard it's one or the other. It's going to be, what I've read is it's either going to be Hulu or Netflix. There are some other places out there that are potential places that they could distribute it that are streaming platforms. I haven't heard any of those other names mentioned. Maybe I don't know if there's a potential someone is coming in at the last minute, like a CBS All Access, and offering a big, you know, a big check for it.
I mean it could be CBS is spending money on Star Trek right now, so I don't think they're going to spend the money on a Cobra Kai.
Yeah,
HBO, it's not really their cup of tea. They've already got tons of things in the works. Amazon Prime is probably the best dark horse candidate. Because it seems like Amazon just don't care. They throw money at the wall, man.
That makes a lot of sense.
However, Amazon did pay out the wazoo for the Tolkien franchise.
That's true.
Recently, right? They're the ones that own Tolkien.
Yeah, they've got
Tolkien. So I think they're good on buying stuff now. So I think that's why you have Hulu. And, I mean, what do you get? The iTunes, the Apple whatever.
TV. Those people are
going downhill fast. They should buy Cobra Kai, but Cobra Kai should never accept an offer there. Because that's just another dead end.
Yeah, they dilly-dallied around with YouTube Premium. They did great because, like you said, they were an all-star player on a losing team. And I think the problem with YouTube Premium, I don't know. It was probably content acquisition. They struck gold one time, but they haven't been able to really find other hits.
And to be honest, if you have the right writers, they should have gone total 80s rejuvenation. Take these movies from the 80s. And give them a TV series 30 years later. Honestly, if you would have gone for like some kind of throwback TV season, I think you would have racked up. I think you would have racked up, especially if you had the good – you got to get the writers. You got to get the writers.
Good writing is the key.
Those shows, the actors will perform as well as they can, but they need good lines to do it. And I think YouTube Premium would have definitely taken off. But you throw – and they never knew it was going to be this big. So all their other name one other show on YouTube Premium. I can't either.
I'm really surprised no one's gone. And I've heard, you know, Peacock is going to be NBC streaming network. They're going to do the Punky Brewster sequel series.
Saved by the Bell.
They're doing Saved by the Bell again, which what I've read on the Saved by the Bell idea or concept sounds really funny.
Yeah. Both of those are great ideas because it's throwback TV because we're the parents now.
Mm-hmm.
We're the parents deciding the decision. So you need to pull our nostalgia strings.
Yeah.
And hey, go ahead. Pull the nostalgia strings all you want. When you hit the right show, which is or movie, we'll come running.
Yeah, and Punky Brewster could be really good because it's going to be about her now being a mom herself.
Yeah.
In a similar way to where she was an orphan that was adopted. She's got her own kids now. And that could be a show that could be really fun for us to watch with our kids. Because they would enjoy the aspect of it being a show with kids. We would enjoy the nostalgia.
You know what I want? I can think of tons of those old TV shows or old movies that could possibly make.
I've got one big one, but I want to hear yours. I've got one for you as well.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Maybe. It'd be funny if it was the same one.
It's going to be funny.
I'm really surprised that no one has done Alf yet.
My wife would agree with you 1,000%.
I have heard nothing on the... I mean, I know the internet, there's been people kind of asked for it a little bit here and there. I don't know if there's been a huge movement for it, but there's been a lot of people who have asked for it. But especially in 2020, I think that what you could do with that is a sequel where Alf comes back, because there's all this stuff with the Area 51 and the people that last year had descended onto Area 51, where they were supposedly going to descend onto Area 51 to get answers that they were looking for on the true story of the aliens and the UFOs that were abducted and held at Area 51. All of that was perfect story material for an Alf reboot. The other stuff that's been happening this year with the government confirming UFOs, this is all really good jump-off stuff for an ALF reboot. And then ALF could definitely have some fun with some of the stuff that's in current events and news right now and being able to say, well, I was trying to come back, but every time I came back, I saw how bad it was here on Earth. And I said, screw that. I'm going to stay where I'm at.
Yeah, he's going to stay on Milmac.
Yeah.
My wife is a huge ALF fan. So she would love to see that series come back.
Yeah, same here. Now I gotta hear yours.
Mine would be Stargate.
That's a great one. Yeah.
I love the Stargate series. Who owns the Stargate series, do you know?
Where it's who currently has the ownership of it? That's a good question. Stargate. Because that is a big that's a big part of these shows getting brought back, is where they're sitting as far as who owns them. Sometimes that can hold it back from distribution, or it can be what brings it back or not brings it back.
Exactly. And I was a big fan of SG-1, Stargate Atlantis. I think those could come back in some, I think Universal owns it, and they just sit there. They just, or MGM, I can't remember, but they sit there on the rights of a big franchise there. And, the other one that, if we can't go big, cause I think Stargate's big. I think that's big. Of course you want to say Firefly, but those actors have all jobs. They've kind of been scattered. Firefly would be a really cult classic if they could bring the people together. But, they couldn't bring this one either, because I think he's stuck on a TV show right now, too. I think he is. But I can't remember the actor's name right now. But
Scott Bakula.
How did you know what I was going to say?
I got it. I just got it. Well, I'll tell you, to answer your question about Stargate, it was originally distributed by MGM. Distribution when it originally aired. I can't find right now where, if it's still
I think it landed with Universal, and Universal is notorious for sitting on money. They're sitting on money back. They have the rights to Tremors. Tremors comes out with a direct-to-DVD sequel every once in a while. They're coming out with one later on this year. It makes bank in DVD sales. Like, I'm one of the people who will buy it the day it comes out.
Yeah.
And they have this rabid fan base, but they refuse to merchandise because they don't think they can merchandise it. What kind of – and then Universal throws money into a monster cinematic universe that goes nowhere and looks like crap. Those people, every one of them should be fired and go, hey, look, we're sitting on Stargate and Tremors. Folks, it's all about sci-fi. Sci-fi can move – You will always have these diehard sci-fi fans, and you can bring more in. For crying out loud, Doctor Who sounds ridiculous, but Doctor Who has 1 billion followers. And if you would treat it right, Stargate could be big again, too. Even something like Quantum Leap, which, I thought had an interesting thing, but Scott Bakula is on that show. I can't remember what his spinoff, New Orleans spinoff.
CSI New Orleans. Now, he actually recently was before the pandemic was interviewed by somebody, and for the first time in a while he actually talked about the potential of a Quantum Leap revitalization. So he's talking about it. It seems like it's not, there's people having meetings about it and there's discussions being had about it. He even thought or threw out a few ideas that maybe the way it would be done. But it still seemed like from his discussion or that interview is that it was still far away from happening. It wasn't impossible, and it was still possible, but it was still a little ways away.
I just don't believe Universal has any common sense when it comes to making money. They just don't. How many failed, their Dark Universe just totally bombs.
Yeah.
They just do such a terrible job. But, Stargate for me is the top one. I can't think of one that I'd like to see return better. A lot of the actors, you know, who would love to see you, who would return to their roles gladly. I mean, the only one that's doing anything was Jason Momoa from Atlantis. I mean, he probably can't come back. But even he said before that he has great memories of Atlantis, and I think he would probably, you know, in between film shoots, he'd come back and do it too because the cast seemed to get along. But I would love to see more Stargate because Stargate can continue on, you know.
I would love to see that. I would love to see that. So there's a lot of other inventory out there that hasn't been utilized for a variety of reasons, for frustrating reasons. But there's a couple of good ones right there. Well, let me hear you. So we already know where we got Cobra Kai. We were disappointed. So that what I've heard, the latest I heard was that if it would get picked up very soon by another streaming platform. Their announcement would be made soon, and then it would be dropped in December, season 3. That's what I've read online and heard rumors of.
Okay, so
right before Christmas, at either Netflix or Hulu.
No, we'll see.
So that's a little ways off. That's a little ways off to wait.
That's a long ways off. I don't like that.
I don't like that either. I would rather hear. I mean, there's no reason why if Netflix picked it up, they couldn't have it up in September. And that I would love. I would love an announcement that it's going to drop in on Netflix in September. I guarantee you a ton of people would still watch it, even if it was a shorter window to promote.
The thing is, though, they don't need that much of a window because there's nothing else going on in the entertainment world. You break the news, all you need is a few weeks, and already it's on. Because entertainment people, they want to talk about something, but there's nothing to talk about.
All you need is if you put that on the front page of Netflix, when you put that on the Netflix homepage, you do a little bit of some Instagram lives with the cat.
Do a news junket, have them go around doing the interviews, and you're done. You're on the word of mouth of everyone because there's nothing going on in the entertainment world. And then still take advantage of the pandemic where there's no competition.
You do 3 weeks. Now, you know what I wish I could have done if it had been a time that I could have had been able to do it. It didn't work out for me to do it time-wise and money-wise. It was during a pandemic, it was a little bit more money than I wanted to spend. But just a couple of weeks ago, the cast of Cobra Kai was doing or at least William Zabka and Ralph Macchio and John Kreese, the actor that plays John Kreese, were doing a virtual convention. And you could buy a Zoom with them and have a chat with them. And it was a 5-minute window with the three of them on a Zoom. And then you would get an autographed picture sent to you later that they would sign and send to you for an additional cost. So it was very much like actual conventions that you do live in person where you go to the convention and you pay for a meet and greet with them. I know you've done these before, and then you can get something signed. It's a little extra. If you do a signed picture, it's one price. If you want to get something specifically signed, that's a different price. Whatever. They were doing that virtually for one of the conventions, and those times you could get actual Zoom meeting with the three of them. How cool is that? Now, I would have been very tempted to ask some questions about season 3. And just turn it into an episode of my podcast right there on the spot.
Yeah.
So,
dude, I totally missed that news. I probably would. How much?
You know, I think I read what it was and
probably.
Well, how much do you guess?
For all three of them?
Yeah.
I'm going to say in between 150 and 200.
I think it was more than 200.
Oh, I bet it was because that 5-minute exclusive conversation means a lot.
Let me see if I can find it now. Now I think they were even going to do another one in the future. Did anybody screenshot that and put or do a video screen it and put that on YouTube? I wonder. That's what I wonder. Was that against their agreement?
I would have loved to have seen that.
I'm going to look into that. See if anybody had their.
Had
screenshotted their discussion. I don't know how many of those they did or had to do, but they may have had it all, a full day of doing those. There was something called RosterCon. I don't know if this is the same convention, but RosterCon was doing Zoom meetings with various celebrities, including Cobra Kai people. Let me look at RosterCon here.
I'll have to check that out.
This could launch a completely new thing, a new model for conventions in the future, where you would have still your regular conventions, but then you would have like these. It was on May 16th, and it was the Karate Kid Trio Experience, and it was one of their events. They also had some other big names that you could do this similar type of thing with. But yeah, you must register to view the live stream. They had a live stream where everybody sat in and viewed. And then you could get your own personal time with the three of them. And see, online virtual. Anyway, yeah, they had, see, what was this? Ed Asner, Wizard World, was one that they were doing as well. Wow. Yeah, so I don't know. They don't have I can't find the price on here again. But yeah, that was RosterCon back in May that did the Cobra Kai experience. With the three,
wow,
with the three,
so
customers.
Cool,
yeah. So that's cool, and hopefully they do it again. Do that again. That was a pretty neat deal. What is some other stuff that's? I know we've had Top Gun Maverick's been delayed till December.
Yeah. I feel the need for speed.
Ow! I got a question for you about that as well. And agree or disagree? That's gonna be one of the other questions. Ghostbusters Afterlife. Cobra Kai delayed, but maybe not just for the pandemic. It would have been delayed maybe because of the move of platforms. So that's also double reason why it's being delayed. Bill and Ted hasn't been delayed yet. We had James Bond, Black Widow,
right,
all delayed. What are some things that you were like, man, I'm bummed that it's been delayed?
Like I said, I didn't watch. I don't watch many movies when they come out anymore, yeah. And the one movie that I was excited to see this year is not due out on DVD until October, and that is Tremors 7, Island Fury.
Wow.
So I've got a little bit of a different taste than other people. But, I mean, we look and see. I mean, some of these movies, like, for instance, when you talk about when I said Fast and Furious 9, I would have rented that on Redbox one night and, you know, brought my popcorn and had a great time.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I would have done with that movie. You look at some of the other movies that were supposed to come out, and for me personally, all of them were rentals. All of them, because I've kind of been burned out on Marvel now.
Yeah.
Not really feeling that I have to go to every Marvel movie anymore. And I don't know.
But you might DVD them, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. But, I mean, I think there was another. I mean, some of them, like the children one, Scoob and
Scoob was
Trolls
out.
Came out on, straight, you know, came out
straight to
pay-per-view
or
whatever.
Video on demand.
You know, that's nice. And then you had, I think, SpongeBob, but that was supposed to come out, I remember, but that was another kid one, but I didn't see it. I thought that would be streaming.
SpongeBob, I read that today as I was getting ready for this episode. It's been delayed, I think, till 2021, July of 2021.
And
so
down there. It makes sense. Makes sense. I cannot remember off the top of my head what the other movies were now, but. But I remember just looking ahead and going, no, not really. What gets me in the theaters these days, folks, is when my AMC or not my Cinemark has those movie nights.
Yeah,
where you get to watch. I got to see Karate Kid in theaters. I got to see Field of Dreams in theaters. I got to see Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Die Hard.
These big classic films.
Yeah, I love classic films. Watching they had the one I regret because I didn't want to go by myself, but I should have and said screw it. Was the triple feature of Back to the Future that they had going on one day?
Same here, because I love those three films so much.
I need to watch them again. I actually just bought the. There's a new Back to the Future game that came out.
Really,
and it's really it's a co-op game where you're trying to fix the DeLorean, move the DeLorean in the spot where it needs to be at 10:55 p.m. or whatever, and then you also have to get your parents to fall in love. As the timer is the picture of Michael,
Michael J.
and you flip over little pieces of the picture, and their bottom half disappears, and then their top half disappears, and you're slowly. And
have
I
you said, played it?
This, no, it just came out.
Just came out. You're getting it.
Just came out this week. It just hit, I think, today.
Are you going to review it?
Oh, definitely. Next month when I play it a few times. Yeah. But it looks so thematic. You're trying to get your parents. There's a love meter where you're trying to get the two parents to fall in love. But Biff is an AI character controlled automatically by the
dice. It sounds amazing.
Who is always bothering you and trying to mess up your plans. And it seems very thematic, but very smart. And it seems very simple and colorful and fun to play. And I was like, oh, man. Now, I'm not the biggest Back to the Future fan. I love those movies. But I'm not like, oh, but, you know, I have all this Back to the Future merchandise. I'm not that guy. I do have my die-cast DeLorean in my bedroom. But other than that, you know, I'm like, okay, take it or leave it. But and I did want the – I missed out on the offer because it costs too darn much. But that Pepsi Perfect bottle – The Pepsi of the future drink.
Yeah.
Pepsi did a very limited run. Yeah. I tried to get in on it, but I was like, come on, they should have just, for the 30th anniversary, they should just brought that out mass market, because I would have bought tons of, because who didn't want a Pepsi Perfect when you saw that movie? It's just Pepsi.
It's just Pepsi. Pepsi is, but in the special packaging from the movie.
It was a special packaging, but I'd buy one because it's kind of like movie memorabilia, man.
It's good. It's a really good memorabilia for sure. So this is one, though, that I think you potentially might have gone to the movie theater for this summer. Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, no, definitely Top Gun. Anything with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, so that one you would have been excited to go see this summer.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, Liam Neeson. Those two guys bring me to the theater. Jackie Chan doesn't make movies anymore, or movies that go out in theaters anymore.
Although they are talking about doing Rush Hour again. That's been talked about for a while.
If they do Rush Hour 4, I go to the theater on that. I mean, I always go to the theater for Tom Cruise and Liam Neeson.
Well, Jackie Chan had a movie that was supposed to come out. It was another one that was delayed, but it was the pirate film that he had made with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, Jackie Chan usually brings me to the theater. And Ed Norton, but he doesn't. He's not making blockbusters right now. Ed Norton was someone that would also bring me to the theater.
Yeah.
So Tom Cruise, definitely. Maverick, yeah, why not? You know, I don't know what – I mean, I have the idea of what they were going to do. I don't know how that story – are we talking about Maverick now, or are we talking about Maverick?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how they were going to do – you know, how – I know the overall story plot. I don't know how well it was going to work, but I was interested in seeing it anyway. Why? Because I'm married to Top Gun. I think Top Gun's a great movie. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I just love Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is great in everything that's not called The Mummy.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, there's no guarantee that works, Top Gun Maverick. We won't know. I know he's worked really hard on it. They took their time on it because it was delayed previously before the pandemic. It had been delayed because it was supposed to have come out in 2019 originally, and it was delayed one other time previous.
You know what, we're talking about delayed sequels. There's, you know, another delayed sequel that came out, was it early this year or maybe late last year?
Mm-hmm.
But that exceeded my expectations was Dr. Sleep. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, oh, that's great.
I was shocked how good that was.
Surprising, yeah. It was a surprising treat for sure.
Something like The Shining doesn't need a sequel. Yes, the book exists. Yes, right. There is a book sequel. But the movie never needed a sequel. Plus, the movie didn't fall in line with the book, which is why Stephen King had his name taken off. But this one kind of does a little bit of, hey, it's based off the book, but we're going to try to wedge it into the movie too. And I thought they did a great job. Now, full disclosure, I've never read the books, but I am familiar with the books, the story plot, so I understood where they were trying to find that middle ground. And I thought they did a great job. The actors they got to play the old characters, unbelievable Jack Nicholson. It wasn't a guy doing a Saturday Night Live Jack Nicholson impersonation. Mm-hmm. He was doing Jack Nicholson's character, not Jack Nicholson. And there's a big difference there, and that's a fine line. How many actors, when they take on a role that Jack Nicholson played, and say, play it just like Jack Nicholson did. Okay, I'm going to play it like Jack Nicholson. No, he didn't. He played it like, what's the guy's name in the movie now?
Ian McGregor.
Shining. Yeah. Oh, no. What the character's name?
The character in the original Shining. Yeah, in the
I can't remember. But anyway, he played it just like that, and I thought it was fantastic. And sometimes the flashback scenes fooled me because they were scene for scene, shot for shot, and they got very similar actors and actresses. it was really good.
Yeah, they
did. Dr. Sleep is, if you passed up Dr. Sleep because you thought, nah, it's just a Hollywood remake of a great classic movie. You're right. It is a Hollywood reboot or whatever of a great classic movie, mm-hmm. but it's a darn good one. It's a darn good one, and you should have seen it.
Yeah, it's surprisingly good. Okay, another one that, and I know you said you wait for a lot of movies to come out, and you don't have to go to the theater for a lot of the movies, but Ghostbusters Afterlife, would that have been one that you would have rushed to the theater for as well?
Yeah, not, no, but my wife would have brought me to it, and I wouldn't have mind seeing it.
Yeah.
I'm not, like I said, I love Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the original Ghostbusters are hilarious. I know that they were coming back in some capacity. Mm-hmm. I might would have seen it. What am I saying? I might would have seen it.
Yeah.
I know the trailer made everyone happy. For me, I was like, okay, that's the teaser. I want to see the full trailer. That's not enough to get me interested. Even though, yeah, seeing the Ecto-1 come back, really awesome. But I want to see my Ghostbusters back in action, baby.
Yeah.
Show me Bill Murray. Show me Dan Aykroyd. Show me Ernie Hudson. And I'm there. I'm there. Just let me see their face. Let me see them suited up. And I'm there.
It's great that we were just talking about Top Gun and Ghostbusters. And those are a couple of things that I was really disappointed to see delayed. I was looking forward to coming out this summer.
Of course.
So here, in Agree or Disagree, for this 127th episode of Thunder Pop Podcast, the two questions to start off with are Top Gun and Ghostbusters related. Top Gun Maverick, okay? We're talking about the delay of Top Gun Maverick, and we also mentioned that it's been pushed. It was originally supposed to come out this summer.
Right.
It's been delayed till December. Not as long a wait as some of the other films, like SpongeBob was delayed really until next summer. We're going to have to wait till next March now for that Ghostbusters film. Mm-hmm. So all that stuff. Now, Top Gun Maverick pushed to December, not as long a wait, but here's my question for you. My feeling has always been, I know you're a Tom Cruise fan, Top Gun always felt like a good summer movie to me, as a summer movie experience. The volleyball, the beach, Tom yep. Cruise in his aviator sunglasses on the motorcycle, yeah. riding by the beach side. It always felt like a really good summer vibe film, Top Gun. Is it going to be kind of a bad landing spot for it to now come out as a holiday film in December? Do you think that could end up being a bad placement for it in the calendar? Do you agree or disagree with that notion?
I completely agree. I also understand that the studio is trying to be as they're trying to market as smart as they can and kick it back to a weekend that usually works on the books.
Yeah.
But another movie that doesn't work good for Christmas release is Jaws. I mean, when you think, I totally agree that Top Gun is a summer movie. And what we're going to see is we're going to see a lot of these summer blockbusters move into the oddest spaces.
Yeah.
You know, just because now there are no productions going on. So there is no 2021 movie release season, folks, because those movies haven't even been filmed or filming has stopped.
Yeah.
So they have to push back all these movies just to kind of spread out. Now, I think what you're going to see is some good old school movie theater box office numbers, meaning movies are going to last for months again because they're going to have to stretch them all out.
That's interesting.
Like they used to.
I hadn't even thought of that.
You're not going to have a blockbuster every other week like we were having.
Yeah.
Everything's going to have room to breathe, and people are going to keep going to it because they're going to be like, well, that's the only game in town right now. You're going to see they're going to revert back to what they were about 20 years ago.
That's interesting.
And it's
going
to be
yeah.
very interesting. The first person to come out with a blockbuster, though, wins. I know they're scared because they mm-hmm. don't know what people are going to come out of the pandemic. Let me tell you something. They're ready to be entertained. And that first blockbuster that comes out first, they're going to win big. And they're going to win bigger than they ever would have on an original release because now they got breathing room. They'll have no competition for weeks, possibly a whole month and more, and there's going to be a lot of staying power. And, I mean, overall, Hollywood screwed for 2020, okay, right? The revenue yeah. is just disastrous. Oh, yeah. But the movies that do come out will overperform due to this.
Well,
and lack of competition.
There'll be less competition. It'll be less crowded at the theater. So a film, and also because of the spacing, having to space people out initially, they're going to have to show a movie like Bill and Ted's on every screen in the movie theater to make sure that everyone that might want to go see it gets to see it and still have that social distancing.
I'm wondering if we're going to have the only phase three that I can find is Florida's plan. They just made it loud and proud. Mm-hmm. Florida for phase three says vulnerable people should social distance, non-vulnerable people, and the word is, should limit time spent in crowds. Now, remember, this is the entertainment capital of the world, folks. You know, Disney World.
Right.
Ferris Wheel. I mean, beaches, you know. So social distancing hurts the tourism in Florida, which is their main number one uno source. That's how they make all. That's how they make billions of dollars, okay? So they are going to go very light on the rules of social distancing. And I do think that something with social distancing is going to have to budge. Because movie theaters cannot survive by, I mean, you're blocking more screens that way. You're not showing as much movies. You're dividing your audience. So you're dividing your profit. And I'm really curious. I don't know. I can't speak the future. Could be that that's the case. But I do know that if that's the case, movie theaters, for the most part, are going to fold. And big AMC, of course, the first one to waffle, but will not be the last. If strict social distance is involved, you're going to see these movie theaters come apart. Someone's got to blink.
Yeah,
and
I think
it's going to be curious what the middle ground will become. There will be middle ground. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, agreed. There'll be some dead weight that probably should have closed or should close, that theaters that just don't do very well, and they're probably were just kind of on a thin margin to begin with.
Sadly, that's going to be mom and pop ones, and I hate that.
Yeah, I hate that too. There'll be the other theaters that were remodeled, renovated, modernized, that have food and beverage, expansion of food and beverage, that will have the stadium seating and whatnot, reclining chairs. Those theaters are still going to be around. I think long term, over the next 3 years, the theaters that survive are going to renovate and kind of reinvent once again, as they've done in the past. And I think you'll see a lot more of these huge reclining seats in theaters, just because that gives you a little more distance between the person that's sitting on your right and the person that's sitting on your left. Also, these reclining seats in these luxury movie theaters, those seats have to be sanitized. Even before the virus, they had to be sanitized before people could reclaim the seat or claim the seat. So because they were more of like a kind of a recliner at home that have they absorb more of people's moisture and whatnot. Yeah. So opposed to just like some, you know, wooden seat at a theater that's just upright kind of seat in a theater.
With the public upholstery that you'd find on, you know, couches and stuff that's meant to be sat on and hardly cleaned.
Yeah. But for me personally, I said this in the last podcast episode, I love matinees. I love going to movies when it's really slow and having an aisle to myself. I mean, there is a special energy about going on opening night for a film and being there for the opening night. But there's also something really cool about going the first Monday after a film has been out, and having a whole aisle to yourself and being able to just kind of stretch out. So for me, that will be kind of my plan. I plan to still, if Bill and Ted makes it by August, I still plan to be there for it, but I'll probably go during a slow time when I could have an aisle to myself and I can kind of stretch out and not have, you know, person in front of me or person next to me. And same thing with Tenet. I'm fascinated to see Tenet, that's still holding strong, to come out in July. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But yeah, Top Gun, that worried me a little bit because it felt like a summer film. I think you agree. Could it still make it though in December?
It'll still make it, but it won't feel right. So I do agree with you.
It'll be a little weird. It'll probably feel more in place when it makes it onto video on demand the following summer of 2021, and you see it again in the summertime. Okay, so the second question, Ghostbusters related. Ghostbusters Afterlife, also supposed to have come out this summer. We've been talking about that. Now, Bill Murray did an interview recently. It's one of the first interviews I've read, the excerpts from the interview that I've read of interview of him in a while. And he wore a panda mask while doing the interview. So I'm assuming this was done during the pandemic, this interview with him wearing a mask. But he was wearing a panda mask. He did an interview. He said, yeah, the new movie's fun, but we really missed Harold Ramis and Rick Moranis not being a part of it. Yeah. So Harold Ramis, though, they also follow up by saying that Harold Ramis will be in the film, but obviously the real life living Harold Ramis was not here to be in the film. So they're using old footage from that was unused footage from one of the previous Ghostbuster films is going to be repurposed and used in this movie.
Oh wow!
So that'll be really interesting to see how they do that. I assume that they're going to have either a flashback or he's going to come back as a ghost, and that's how they're using his old footage. So
probably as a ghost, and his son is directing it, correct?
Ivan Reitman's son is directing Jason Reitman.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the interesting thing. So in a way, for the audience at least, you'll still feel a little bit of Harold Ramis's presence in the film since he's going to still appear coming back from the past to be in the movie. But in the case of Rick Moranis, he just didn't want to be a part of the new film. The actor's still alive, but he just didn't want to be a part of the film. Do you agree or disagree for Ghostbusters fans that that's going to be a huge downer for them, not having Rick there?
It will be a downer, but as far as I know, Rick Moranis is basically retired from acting is the big deal there, and that's really why he turned it down. Plus, he felt like the role just wasn't a good fit for him, and it didn't seem like his character had that much to do. But at the same time, Rick Moranis has been happily retired for years, folks. He's not wanting money. He's not wanting fame. He's wanting to live his life out. I can respect that. It's like Joe Pesci. How they got that man out to do that movie, Martin Scorsese got him out because that was Joe Pesci's best movie he's ever made in his entire life. But Joe Pesci doesn't do it for the money. He doesn't even do it for the fame. He just came out because his good friends, Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese, came and said, hey, please do this film with us. And, okay. He's not hurting for work. He doesn't go out saying, oh, I really wish I can find something.
Someone he doesn't need the money.
Yeah, he didn't need the money. He saved up all his money, and he didn't. I mean, to be honest, he just did movies for a little while, and then he didn't really care that he was gone after that. He's like, okay, he was happily retired. There are some people like him. Sean Connery was happy. He got it. He got an offer to be in Indiana Jones 5, but turned it down.
Yeah.
Because he's happily retired, and I think Rick Moranis is in that same boat. And yes, it is sad that he's not going to be in there. But to be honest, what would be more sad if you're losing one of the key? Oh, is the secretary in this one?
Annie Potts and Sigourney Weaver are supposed to be coming back.
I think they got a good group, and it would have been great to see Rick. It would have been fantastic to see Rick Moranis. But if you lose anyone, then Rick Moranis, okay. That's you don't lose any Ghostbusters, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But Rick Moranis, okay. Okay, if you don't get him back, that's fine. But I wish he was a part of it. I understand why he's not, but it won't be that detrimental to the film, I feel.
Well, and there'll be a lot of the new young cast members as well. Paul Rudd's in the film.
I love that too.
So they're blended. Yeah, he's a good choice to fit with that movie, that franchise. So that I think the new cast is blending with most all except for Rick Moranis, the original cast. So there's going to be a lot of bodies on screen in front of the camera. In that film, it's going to be pretty crowded as is.
Yeah.
Not to say I would as a Ghostbusters fan, I'd much rather it be Rick there than not Rick there. But I still think that what they probably came. I mean, the most important ones are Bill Murray, getting Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, and then after that, obviously getting Annie Potts, Sigourney Weaver, and Ernie Hudson back as well. It's pretty key.
Agreed.
All the living Ghostbusters back. They were able to get all the living Ghostbusters. So that was great. And I love that they figured out some way to get Harold Ramis kind of a tribute to him by being still a part of the film. So last question about another very popular franchise, but for television. This has a lot to do. This applies to cancel culture and cancel culture striking again. Now there are people on the web calling for the cancellation of Chase from Paw Patrol because of the recent police brutality that happened in Minneapolis. It's been big news for people that have not been in a cave for the past 2 weeks are well aware of what has been going on around our country in America. So there's been a call for Chase, who is a police dog in Paw Patrol, to be deleted or removed from the show because of the negative negative view people have of policemen, I guess, right now, and lawmakers. So do you agree or disagree that now that cancel culture has finally jumped the shark and has gone too far? Now, I'm going to tell you a funny thing here. I told my wife this afternoon. A couple of weeks ago, I was playing with my son. I mean, my son will be 3 in July 19th, okay? So he is very much into Paw Patrol. So we are always talking about, he's got these little figurine kind of action figures of all the Paw Patrol characters.
Oh.
He's got the whole collection. He's got, I know the names of all the characters now, just like I know the names of all the characters in Star Wars. I know the characters of all, the names of all the characters in Paw Patrol now. But yeah.
That's awesome.
Scout, Chase, Sky. Anyway, I know them all. But he's got all the little figurines of all the little characters, including Ryder, who's their boss. The guy, the 10-year-old kid that is their leader, I guess, of the group. So,
right.
A couple of weeks ago, even before the police incident in Minneapolis, but maybe even 3 weeks ago, I was playing with him in his room, and we're always talking about Chase, and we're always talking about Paw Patrol. I had come up with this because I've been doing a lot of video, like digital shorts, like little comedy bits. And I was thinking, oh, it would be hilarious to make fun of cancel culture to do a video where Chase gets into some scandal, Chase from Paw Patrol gets into some kind of scandal, and then everybody wants to cancel Chase from Paw Patrol. If I could do a stop-motion animation of that, that would be hilarious. And then I kind of left my head as a project because I was like, you know, I have a lot of ideas. I'm always kind of kicking around ideas. But then I opened up the phone today. I was on MovieWeb, and I cannot believe what I was reading because it was just something that was in my head just 3 weeks ago, but it was a joke. But this time it wasn't a joke. It was an actual real thing. So anyway, I had to throw that the story in there. It's a little long-winded story, but I had to throw that in there that I kind of predicted this story 3 weeks ago.
That's funny.
I had a weird premonition about it. But anyway, do you agree or disagree? Has cancel culture finally now jumped the shark?
Oh, yeah. And it we get more and more ridiculous as time goes by. If you're going to cancel a children's show, folks, go for Yo Gabba Gabba or whatever. I'm fine with that being canceled. I'm fine with Peppa Pig being canceled. I'm fine with Author being canceled. Let's cancel all them too. Dora the Explorer for just whatever reason. I don't know. Swipe or no swipe. Yeah, get him out of here.
We haven't gotten into those too much. Now, Peppa Pig, we only know because we had some Peppa Pig gift wrapping paper. We bought one time when there was nothing else we could find. So we got that instead.
My little nieces and nephews are huge on Peppa Pig. But it's gotten so ridiculous now. It's gotten so ridiculous. I'm a big history fan, and destroying history is something that I'm very disappointed in seeing. It reminds me of the movie Equilibrium. If you have ever seen that movie where they're destroying their past. If you want to be mad, you want to destroy something, destroy the pyramids, folks, in Egypt. They were actually built by slaves, and many slaves died. Oh, we can't talk about that. Those are antiques and ancient. No, we don't care now. Mm-hmm. We got to cancel everything. We got to judge the past on today's standards, even though that wasn't the standard back then, and a lot of people didn't know what they know back then. But we got to look up tweets on the CW characters from 13 years ago and judge them by back when Shock Jock radio was big and saying shocking things was just funny. And so you have to go back. You have to cancel that because that's now insensitive. And that's the thing now. What tweet can I find from 8-10 years ago that can get someone in hot water? And what decisions when they made it as a kid can I hold up against them? These college kids who were getting called out for something that they did in seventh grade on Twitter. Are you kidding me? If social media existed back when I was a kid, I'd be fired from my job. Okay, I mean, to pretend that you have never said something that shocking when you were a kid is a bold-faced lie. Kids say the stupidest things. They can be mean sometimes. They can be ugly. They can be crass. And the thing is, though, you learn. It's called maturity. But no. We have to be in an immature world where we cancel everything and everyone. this means that. That means you just attribute things. Everything equals hate. No, no. You point it out, and you're trying to get rabble. John Schneider got to talk to him from Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of pulled that show for the Confederate flag on top of the General Lee.
Yeah, and that's still making the news a little bit here and there.
Oh well, yeah, that is. But he said it's kind of ridiculous because anyone who watched the show knows it's a family show. And they always talked about coming together, loving whoever you are. It had nothing to do with racism whatsoever. Everyone was treated fine and equally. They enjoyed the characters they had on the show. Everyone was, you know, in the end, respectful. And it was about family. He said, it's just that, he said, you have a mob out there who has to get angry at something every day. And that particular crisis hit. And, well, let me see. What can we get mad at? Let's get mad at Dukes of Hazzard. Okay, well, if you know anyone from Dukes of Hazzard, and no one is like that, the cast isn't like that, very welcoming. They all promote diversity and everything. But it's the cancel culture just likes to just keep going on. And they don't care. They don't care. They never even investigated what some of these shows are about. You're going to cancel a cartoon about a dog. Why? Because he's in a cop suit. Seriously? Are we that stupid now? Are we that stupid as a society? Yes. Yes, we are. Not everyone, folks. And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. I still don't believe that's the majority of people. I don't believe that's the majority. I think that's a minority of people who are just extra crybabies, and they the squeaky wheel gets the grease, folks. The squeaky wheel. The rest of us sit back with a smirk, shake our head, you know, going, "What's on?" But you know what? They're winning now because they get to. I mean, I'd love for someone to topple other things, topple other statues, destroy other buildings, you know, because they were back in an era where slavery was around. Why don't we destroy those buildings? Some of them used to be old slave houses, by the way, up north.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we destroy all these historic buildings? That's what I want to see happen. I want to, but no, we can't. That's a building. No. Oh, no. You know what it represented back in the day. So you could just take this to the umpteenth degree. But the thing is, though, it's ridiculous, and it's you know, you want to cancel Paw Patrol or one character from Paw Patrol. Good luck. You want to cancel Splash Mountain. For crying out loud.
That's been talked about.
Yeah. Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Splash Mountain. Look at that ride. It's a fun, enjoyable ride. Oh, but it's connected to a movie. Okay, so is this 7 Degrees of Kevin Bacon we're playing? Because there ain't nothing wrong with that ride. There's nothing wrong with the ride. It's actually one of my favorite rides, and always has been my favorite ride at Magic Kingdom.
Love that ride. I've been on it myself. Also, it was announced, I believe today, that country and western group, Lady Antebellum, is dropping the Antebellum from their name. They're not going to call themselves Lady A because of the association of Antebellum to slavery.
Yeah, and then Gone with the Wind being pulled. That's just, come on, get out of here.
Yeah, they pulled, now HBO Max pulled Gone with the Wind, but they're going to put it back, but it's going to have an added commentary of some sort or introduction. Where it sets up that this movie was made during a certain time and it was a historic.
But you know what? It's BS because you look at behind the scenes when the lady who was up for an Oscar, who played their housemaid or whatever, when she was not allowed at the premiere, the actors revolted and they stood with her.
Yeah,
to get her
right.
to come to
that's
that premiere because right. they wanted to segregate and they said, absolutely not. And to call that movie racist, where every other, and this is back in the, folks, this is back in the day where racism was around. It was normal to segregate, but the actors banded right. against it. No, you cannot lock her out. She's a fantastic woman. She's part of our cast, and she deserves, those were good people in that movie. But now you're saying, oh, the whole thing was racist. Oh, it's such a blasphemous, bold-faced lie and a willful ignorance of the truth. That I just cannot stand. I cannot, as a history major, I cannot stand it. I cannot stand it.
Are you familiar with the book Fahrenheit 451 that was the author? It was Ray Bradbury book.
Burning books, baby.
So that
burning
was them books. That was a. That's also a film that came out a few years ago on HBO. It was a Fahrenheit 4. It came out in 2018.
Oh, they came out with a remake? I didn't know that.
They came out with a really good remake. I watched it actually while I was on a plane trip out to California, I believe. But it came out in 2018 with Michael B. Jordan, and it was a really good remake. And it was a made for TV movie. It went straight to HBO.
That's interesting.
But here it is for people that maybe are kind of listening to what we're saying and but kind of not sure about some of the stuff. Go back and I'm going to reference Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah,
that's the
it's
warm
good book too.
That's a wormhole that you want to look at before you think of all. Also, an episode of more recently, also an episode of Black Mirror that I was just talking to my cousin about today. That was, I think it was season two of Black Mirror, but it has Ron Howard's daughter in it, Bryce Howard. Mm-hmm. She actually starred in the episode. I think she might have directed the episode also. But it was about cancellation of people through social media. And so what happens is in this dystopian future that Black Mirror presents, they show a time where every day Joes and Janes on the street can get canceled, not just celebrities. Can get canceled by their lack of popularity on social media.
Yeah.
So that's kind of another kind of wormhole of where you could go with that sort of way of thinking is that you could start canceling just people in general. Get voted off the island like you're on Survivor or something. So, yeah. But there you go. There you go. It's 2020, sir.
It is.
2020. It is.
This is what we get, folks.
And we have kids. We have to bring them up. We have to raise them.
Yeah, that's the key. You just got to raise them right. Raise them with a level head. Raise them to look into things.
And that's a perfect segue right there for Agree or Disagree for this 127th episode. Matt Wilkins, ladies and gentlemen.
I turned off the news a long time ago.
Yeah.
When I saw they're just sensationalizing, spreading other things. And I'm better for it. I don't have to worry all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to live by fear. I'm not going to let a news broadcaster dictate my opinion or sway my opinion. I'm going to do my own independent study. I'm going to also use common sense in there, too. I'm not going to paint one person or one act and then paint the entire corporation or race or whatever that one way. I'm not going to do that because it's called common sense. But yeah, we just need more of that in the world. One step at a time.
Right there, ladies and gentlemen, our thoughts and advice for tonight. Matt Wilkins, Master Jedi Matt Wilkins, can be found on YouTube if you look for Matt Wilkins on YouTube.
Yeah. And his name, very creative with the name.
It's easy to find, though, if you just type in his name. It's MATTWILKINS, like Kins, like kinfolk, but with an S at the end, Matt Wilkins. And his YouTube channel, it's heavily focused on the expanded universe of Star Wars. And by the way, where are you on the prequels? Because prequels, I will say, at least in the case of Revenge of the Sith, and I know you, story-wise, you're very okay, I'm sure, with the prequels, because they are a part of the original Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
They're pre-Disney, so they're part of the expanded universe that you support and still follow. So for that standpoint, I'm sure you were always okay with prequels. But for me, I will say this, at least in the case of Revenge of the Sith, Revenge of the Sith is a movie that has gotten better for me as it's aged. And I think it's partly in the fact that for a lot of people, I think I've noticed that the prequels have gone a lot more fonder on the prequels the last few years. I think a good part of that is because of people's dissatisfaction with the new sequels. They look back now on the prequels and are like, not so bad, maybe.
With the fond eye. Yeah, I enjoyed the prequels. I don't think they're as good as the original series trilogy, of course.
Sure.
And I'll never defend the prequels. Everyone who has an argument about why the prequels are inferior or not good, yes, you all have good, valid points.
Right.
But guess what? That's not going to stop me from watching them again because I do enjoy each one. I do enjoy each one for some capacity, if not for nostalgia, because, I mean, heck, I was, last year in college for the first one and then the next two fresh out of college still, kind of growing up, but I have great memories with those. And so those movies are enjoyable to me. I do enjoy the prequels. Again, I think, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Jedi are much better.
Sure.
But I do enjoy the prequels. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were telling a very different. They were telling a different story at a different stage of Star Wars. It was darker tone in terms of how the arc is of that trilogy is concluded. But that ending with Anakin and Obi-Wan and the higher ground has become one of the most quoted lines of all of Star Wars.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor is a fantastic actor. The problem with those movies, the main problem and the sole problem, is George Lucas directed. He kind of lost his way a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
I kind of call it the Emperor's New Clothes mentality.
Yeah.
He had gotten so big that he surrounded himself by yes men.
Yeah.
And when they're showing the movie, they're all saying yes, George, yes, George.
Right.
Someone needed to say no, but you don't say no to George now because he's kind of gotten too big. And but the thing is, though, originally George was going to direct the first one. And then the next two were going to be directed by Ron Howard and Steven Spielberg, two of his friends. And Ron Howard and Steven Spielberg were like, no, George, you direct all three, because they wanted to see him come back. They should have said, thank you, George. And they could have taken over. And, you know, Spielberg would have, you know, said, George, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And George would have been fine with it. Same thing. Ron Howard would have said the same thing. I think both of them would have come out with better movies.
Sure.
And I think if that would have been the case, we would have had a much better prequel series, because the potential was there.
Potential was definitely there.
Yeah, they swung and missed on a few scenes, and everyone says, oh, the acting, Matt. No, it's the director. When the director makes everything blue screen or green screen, you know, it's sad
everything.
To see behind the scenes and know that everything was CGI'd. And it's so when you're pretending in a green room, not much room for imagination. And by the way, as an actor, you need a director to tell you what you're feeling, what you're seeing. All George can say is faster and more intense. You know, and that's basically his direction. He's not a very good director. Harrison Ford has said that before. And so that they didn't have much direction. You look at Hayden Christensen in the movie Awake. It was really good. You look at Ewan McGregor in any other movie. He's fantastic. He gets better, I think, as he makes more movies. Liam Neeson is one of my favorite actors, and he was so-so in Episode One. So, yeah. I mean, Natalie Portman obviously is a good actress. She's done a lot. She's got
Oscar winner
before, but not for those movies.
No.
Because George didn't give her that direction. Jake Lloyd does have a point saying he kind of ruined me because, you know, I thought I was going to be really good and I looked like an idiot up there. Yeah, you did. Sorry, kid. You did look like an
Poor
idiot.
Kid.
It's not your fault.
Poor guy.
Yeah, he was in, what was he in before? He was in the toy movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, wasn't he?
I'd have to look at this.
Jake Lloyd was the kid in, what was that movie? The Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Where they were trying to get that toy. Jingle All the Way.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. So he had a promising career before this, but kind of got sidelined when it should have catapulted after the prequel trilogy. But George was the main reason that those were sour. The potential was definitely there, and the movies are fine as is. Mm-hmm. But of course, the writing could have been better because I hate sand; it gets everywhere.
By the way, another movie that has been pushed back that we didn't get to was a new Home Alone movie that they're starting to work on, or Home Alone project. I think it may actually be a limited series for Disney Plus, but it's a Home Alone reboot that they're working
on. Not interested.
On.
Macaulay Culkin. They should have stopped it too, not done the direct-to-DVD movies. But you know, Macaulay Culkin is Home Alone. If you do one where he leaves his kid, I may watch that.
Yeah, that could be interesting to see if it's going to be a continuation maybe where he's part of it. Because I agree with you. That would be where I would be back on board with it.
I want – who's the guy who directed that one?
The original – Hughes.
John Hughes.
Yeah.
Did you hear about their jokingly Matthew Broderick brought this out a few years ago. Their joking idea to do a Ferris Bueller 2?
No.
John Hughes told them what we're going to do cuz it made tons of money and they thought about doing one, but John Hughes said this is just a remake of the first movie. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
So what he did it was Ferris Bueller Takes a Day Off College. So what he joked with the cast, he went, "We're going to do Ferris Bueller 30 years later where they're kind of in their late 40s, early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is he said that Cameron checks himself into an old folks home because he figures at 50-something he's done.
Yeah.
Well, then Ferris breaks him out of the old folks home and they go out and do stuff because Ferris Bueller is kind of stuck at work, stuck in his job.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be fun again. And at the end, Cameron does die. happy, though. He had a great day, but he did have a heart problem, and he dies in the end. But he got one great day with Ferris.
Another great day.
And I was like, I would love to see that movie.
Another movie that we would love to see that they were, if John Hughes was still alive.
Who knows? I mean, he was kind of kidding, but to be honest, it's a good idea for a story plot.
Could still happen. Because they're getting to close to, I think they're around the age to do it right now.
Oh, it's the perfect age for them to do it right now.
They probably have about a 5-year window on that.
Has the rights? Get to, if it's Universal, we're screwed. But
Yeah, I'm gonna look into that, find out where it's at. Because yeah, absolutely. Well, in the age of the streaming wars, everything that you wanted to get revitalized, rebooted, sequeled, or prequeled can still happen because of the
anything streaming. Is possible.
Don Johnson said back at the beginning of the year that they're kicking around a Miami Vice idea. He said they're working on it. So, yeah, anything is possible. And Cobra Kai gave life to these projects now because of what it did and did so well. A lot of projects are going to happen and get greenlit because of Cobra Kai that would not have otherwise gotten greenlit. So it's good for us 80s kids and 90s kids to have some things that they were hoping to see again. Matt Wilkins, thank you, sir, for this 127th episode. And you, sir, take good care of yourself, you and your family. And I hope to see you very soon.
Thanks for having me.
Always. And everybody out there, have a great day, second, millisecond. Be safe, be well, take care of yourself. Everyone, be good to each other. Good night. And Thunder Pop is a Hit the Bricks production.